You can't let a vendor hold you back from your security posture because you're worried about the change. This is stuff that we have been, as an industry, gun shy of doing. It's hard to replace your endpoints. Hard to replace your WAF. It's hard to replace your IDP. So we've continually invested in technology that's 20 years old when there's a lot better stuff that's out there that will seamlessly integrate, make your life easier, and you're going to be in a lot better spot.
This is KBCast.
As a prime target for ransomware campaigns,
is security and testing and performance and scalability.
Risk and compliance.
We can actually automate that.
Take that data and use it.
Joining me today is Grant Bozikas, Chief Security Officer from Cloudflare, and today we're discussing lessons learnt from a global CSO in the year of elections. So Grant, thanks for joining and welcome.
Thank you, KB. Wonderful to be here. Happy to be finally to get this on the schedule and do it.
So I know we are coming towards the end of the year. So maybe share a little bit more about your thoughts. What have you sort of learnt this year as you sort of reflect back now in this interview?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think as we look back into 2024 and I think about, you know, how we're going to transition into 2025, the big lesson that I've taken away is that CISOs are facing very similar challenges, but we're all dealing with it a little bit differently. And I think the challenge that I'm hearing consistency among all the answers I get is this, you know, how do we lower costs within our operating environment, and how do we reduce complexity? And those things I've seen a lot, and I've talked to just about 150 CISOs over the year, and that's loud and clear the number one thing I hear. Number two thing that I hear is around artificial intelligence and what are we doing with AI, LLMs, machine learning, deep learning. But those are the two things that I think as I look that we're all facing similar challenges. We're just opting to handle them a little bit differently. And I think sharing knowledge with each other is something that we're all looking to do because these are monumental tasks that we're all facing.
So what do you think we are doing with AI? Because I know there's a lot of hype around it. I know that companies are now focused on beyond the hype. What does this actually mean? What's your view?
I always answer, you know, well, what is AI, right? That's the first thing I always answer. Because there's a lot of different discussions around what AI is and what are the risks around AI. And I always need to clarify how we think about this. I was just at the World Economic Forum, the security meeting in Geneva, and this was the big topic. And so are we talking about models? Are we talking about business and how the business is using AI? Or are we talking about what we're doing with data classification, data sensitivity, data localization? How we're protecting data. And so I think all of those topics are on the table. And depending on which conversation you're having, I think it's always good to know where you're driven. I do think, and this is something I talk regularly about, is, you know, AI from a security practitioner is about data in most simple terms. And it's something we've tried to solve for 15 years. Around how do you protect data from leaving the organization? And so when I think about a lot of the conversations around model governance, how we're building LLMs, you know, how are we keeping our data outside of public models? This is just another conversation that I could have had 15 years ago at any of the banks that I worked at and really trying to, you know, protect data. And so that's a very common one. And I think it's a really good perspective to start, at least from an AI standpoint.
Yeah, and look, that's a great question on what is AI and what does it actually mean? Do you think that now with 2025, and there's, you know, and AI has probably, and I know it's been around for a long time, I get all of that, but in terms of it being more ubiquitous in the market, probably since the end of 2022 when ChatGPT really came into the market and it started to take a massive turn in terms of the conversations, do you think people are sort of embracing a little bit more and are looking at ways on how they can leverage it in their organization? Because again, like you can reduce a lot of heavy lifting with automating things and leveraging AI. So what is some of your key predictions then on that front?
So, you know, when I think about 2024, I'll start with 2024. One of the things I thought would be super interesting was, you know, having some predictions around AI. And one of the predictions was that you would see our first model breach. And I thought that was a little, you know, it would take some time before we saw that. I thought it would come true in 2024. And I think it was 2 weeks later we started to see it. And so when I think about what we're seeing from a security standpoint, it's another vulnerable vector that we should pay close attention to. What I think in 2025, you know, we're still not really using AI at this point. I always think, well, to kind of the first question, you know, well, what is AI? I think a lot of people are talking about LLMs, right? And how are we using LLMs? I think there's some advantages. You know, we're seeing all this Copilot and, you know, all these autonomous SOCs and all of these things that we think we're getting great benefits are going to see great benefits. I don't still think we're going to see the benefits in 2025. I think it'll roll into the out years. And I think it's primarily due to, you know, the thing that I'm consistently hearing from all the CISOs, which is, how do I address cost? How do I, you know, decrease complexity in my environment? And now I have this AI thing that I'm trying to do and invest, and it's really forcing us into what I'll call a security transformation component of, you know, I'm a CISO and I have 50 security tools. Well, I can tell you, you probably don't have the people, the resources, the dollars to be able to support it and take on new efforts with AI because the environment's just too complex. And so when I think about where we're headed from a AI standpoint, and I think it's, you know, from a Cloudflare perspective versus, you know, a traditional CISO that's in a banking or insurance organization or retail manufacturing, it's a little bit different view because I take it from a Cloudflare standpoint, we're using machine learning, we're using neural networks, you know, we're using LLMs as part of our products. You know, from a CISO standpoint, it's a lot harder to build a data model that I can run, you know, an LLM on and gain tremendous efficiency that isn't really packaged from a vendor. Some of the large organizations have done this. I've done this in some of the large organizations I've been, but it gets to be costly from an R&D standpoint. And so one of the things I think is, as we look into 2025, is this adoption of machine learning, deep learning products into our organization that, you know, from a third-party standpoint. But I also think there's risks there, because we don't know what these models are doing, right? The fundamental component or difference between machine learning and deep learning and LLMs is that machine learning, I know exactly what you're doing and what the models are doing. I can understand feature importance. I can understand what the features look like and how they're being manipulated. Deep learning and LLMs, I don't. And I think this is going to be something as we look at it is, how do we adopt models? Whose models do we adopt? Where's the data training from? I think are going to be all key elements of 2025.
So is it fair assumption to say companies are still in this reconnaissance phase around, like, you know, whose models? They're worried about hallucinations. They're worried about what data it's being trained on. Like, are we still trying to navigate this uncharted territory? And it's going to take a little bit of time, right, before people feel comfortable on understanding exactly where they sit. Because at the moment, I think there's a lot of conversations. Even I can't even keep up all the conversations that are happening at this in this space. So do you think it'll take a few years before people are comfortable with this state of play from an AI perspective?
So I think you're right on, KB, on it's going to take some time for adoption in AI. And I draw parallels, even into the cybersecurity industry. You know, I started, you know, doing pen testing, and I'll call it firewall management, in the late 90s. And I think of AI as in a very similar state where the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years of my career, you know, like, oh, you can't hack me, you know, security, you're not needing security. And we're at the same infancy of where there aren't a lot of skills in AI. They're still being developed. And with where we were 25 years from a security standpoint, and I even look at it from an advancement in technology. Even when I finished my master's, I spent 3 years coding Python every night. You know, the technology's gotten even more advanced. You know, there were very little LLMs back when I was doing this, and now LLMs are the big thing. And so I think you have two things is the industry's moving forward very quickly, and people cannot stay on top of it. And then I think even more importantly, from a security standpoint, how do you stay up with cybersecurity and AI? It's a tough thing. We already have a shortage of talent and skills in the cyber workforce, and, you know, tag data science, machine learning skills on top of it. And I think we're at a big loss here. And so I think as we look forward for this, we're going to be very dependent on vendors like Cloudflare to help protect our environments, because they're going to have resources and machine learning resources that are going to be able to help. I'm lucky having Dean Masiso here that I get to leverage the technology and all the things that are there. But I think it's going to be something unique, is how do we learn about what AI is, or what's the difference between an LLM and deep learning and machine learning, and are going to be very fascinating things as we kind of venture forward in the future.
The other thing that's interesting in terms of observation that I hear from people is people out there saying, oh, if you don't adopt AI, like, you're not going to be around. There's a lot of that. Maybe it's fear mongering. Maybe there's truth to it. Like, there's, you know, there's a bit in both camps. But do you have then that just overwhelms people? And then maybe they just do nothing as a result of it.
You know, I did our keynote in Sydney in August when I was down there. And this was the topic. This was my third topic, you know, when I talk about cost and complexity in AI. The thing I tell people is you have to embrace it. And I do think that there are companies that don't get involved in AI, they're going to be short-circuiting their capabilities in the future. Sure. And the companies that are using data and using AI right will be the ones that are more successful. And, you know, that may not be in 2024, that may not be in 2025. We are seeing some fascinating organizations leveraging AI. But I think for mainstream organizations, we're still learning through this. And so what I tell every security practitioner, it's something that has to be near and dear to what we're doing, you know, partnering with the business, helping drive the business from an AI, thinking about the risks that we're facing, and that will help us get through it. You know, I think when we ask, you know, if the business wants to do this and we say no, I think that's a problem, right? Like, how do we enable the business to move forward in a secure AI model? There's a lot of the practices, you know, just thinking about open source, you know, models, LLMs, that we already know how to manage. We don't always think about it that way, but it's the same way we've been managing open source today. We just aren't thinking about that. And so I think it's something that CISO security leaders have to do, is embrace AI, help the business move it forward, and not be scared of it.
Do you think people say no because they don't understand it? And there's also so many different opinions and thoughts, and, you know, there's still people out there saying, you know, we're not going to have any jobs left. Like, there's, you know, there's so many varying opinions that perhaps that clouds their judgment. And then they're like, oh, well, no, I don't want to go down that path. You think there's a bit of that in there?
I think there's always that in cybersecurity, that there's a little bit of no, because we don't understand what it is. And I think this is a point of inflection, because I do think in the next 5 years, we're going to see major advancements. I have a six-year-old, and I think about this every day. Like, what is the job force going to look like when he comes out in 15, you know, 17 years from, you know, the university? What does that look like in an AI world? And so I think that this is something, and this is why I went and did a full master's program in his AI, is because I didn't understand it. And it did scare me, right? It's okay to be scared of something. And cybersecurity is hard enough as it is that I got to learn AI, and how do I think about AI risks, and what are they doing with my data? And these are all things we're going to just have to head down and learn. And that's going to help us get through it. The CISOs that always say no and aren't embracing what the businesses are doing should go extinct, right? There are a lot of people that have a lot of ambition, curiosity to learn this. And if you don't know it, you know, that may be part of the journey you're on with the organization, to learn and experiment on things that will help the business, you know, move forward. And that's the opportunity that I hear, you know, in every, you know, kind of CISO forum, is, well, how do we become on par with a CIO? How do we report to the CEO because security is important? Or how do I, you know, and peers with the CTO, and what should my reporting structure? We get hung up on that stuff. But I think it demonstrates, like, especially AI, that if we want to be business leaders and lead an organization forward, this is an opportunity for us to deal with AI and show the value of what CISOs can do.
So I want to switch gears now, and I want to talk about future-proofing security in an uncertain economy. Now, people are going to have different versions of what their definition of an uncertain economy is, but I'm curious to know how do you see it? Talk me through your thinking here.
You know, when I think about future-proofing security and how do we think about this, the thing that always comes to my mind is like, we have to simplify this. This is the first year I've seen CISOs unanimously say, things are too complicated in my environment. I worked on some major breaches this year that I got lucky to kind of be tasked and asked for help. And I've dug into a couple of these, and unanimously, every single one of them is, I don't understand how your network works. I don't understand what your security posture is. You know, things are so complicated with multiple endpoints, you know, multiple firewalls, multiple, you know, 25 different ingress points, that the only way that I think from a future proof is really to simplify what it looks like. And so this was something that I was on a panel in the World Economic Forum about this. It's, we have to go through a security transformation, and we have to be part of the business as we move forward, because business is making transformation. But if I think about 10 years of CISOs on the last 20 years, we've bought product after product after product after product, and it's not working. We've seen more breaches over the years. You know, the adding more products is not a good idea, because what ultimately ever happens every single time is you buy a product because it's supposed to protect us, but we never configured it, enabled it, set it up right. And I think this is what I think about this is, you know, to get to a spot where we can be nimble and future-proof our security, to even start thinking about, how do we do detection at scale? How do we do validation and posture at scale? We have to have a simplified environment that we can control.
That's a good observation, because I think when you were speaking, what was coming up in my mind is, so many people have gone out and just bought these point solutions, right? And then, to your point, haven't configured it, haven't done this, is, you know, lack of interoperability. So do you think that now people are probably seeing the complexity and they're now trying to find a way to reduce that, reduce the tooling? I mean, I would say the main undertone of the interviews at the moment is this: we've got to reduce tooling, we've got to consolidate, we've got to do all of these things. But how do people do that so things aren't going by the wayside? Because, like, oh, we just removed something that we probably shouldn't have, and then keeping the lights on. How do you find that equilibrium from your experience, Grant?
You know, the one thing we see, I see this with every customer, and I get involved with a lot of customers that ask me this exact same question of, I have all these priorities. The business is saying, you know, AI, and, you know, we have all these complicated regulations, you know, but I got 5 web application firewalls. Like, how do I think about transformation with this? And so priority is, I got to help the business move forward, which is the right answer. But I think we have to stop and think, like, are we going to be able to transform the business? There was a big organization in Australia that we just won a big deal, and it was around how Cloudflare can help streamline DevOps to be able to get it at the speed that the organization wants, because we can shift left, use all the buzzwords, everything's in Terraform, because we're really the only vendor that could do that. When I think about these things, we got to be thinking about our own business, right? We need to help the business, but we have to transform it. And I'll give you a little inside ball. Even with us, like, we've switched our IDP. That is tough. We did it in 8 weeks. We switched our IDP in 8 weeks. We swapped our entire EDR platform, and we just swapped our SIM. We did that all this year. And, you know, we're under 10 tools for Cloudflare, because I'm focused on, how do we modernize our architecture? How do I build immutable infrastructure into our edge network? And when I think about these are tough decisions. You know, is there any value in me swapping out an IDP other than from a supply chain risk? That's the biggest one, because I'm hosting it ourselves. And I think, you know, from this perspective, I feel a lot better with the simplicity that we've created than, you know, that can enable our business to go forward. And I think that's something that I think we have to be conscious in our transformation budgets. We have to be honest with ourselves and really put in a, you know, kind of an architecture view of, how do I want this network to look like? Because, I mean, for us, for a lot of people who have been in this business 20 years, 30 years, 30 years ago, networks were all over the place, you know, with NAT problems, routing L2 and L3 problems, and we've just inherited it and never really fixed it. And now we're kind of stuck in this spot of the business wants to go faster, where you want to use AI, but we just don't have control of our existing environment. And I think, you know, my biggest worry with AI is just that the confidential data gets in the public models. And secondary, like, well, our data protection's never been good from a world perspective, you know. And so how are we going to do this? We get our fundamental controls in place.
Another thing that's come up in my interviews as well is platformization. So everything that you just said, would you say that there's a shift more now towards platformization to, you know, reduce the complexity, make things a little bit more simple, et cetera?
Marketing has caught on to that, right? Like, everything's become a platform. I talk a lot about this at Cloudflare because, you know, we standardize on a couple of vendors and leverage them. But just because I picked a company, Company A, and, you know, they're marketing as a platform, that doesn't mean that they got five different operating systems and five different interfaces, because they've rolled up a bunch of companies and now I got basically a platform of M&A activity. And so I think you got to be careful of what a platform is in a kind of marketing standpoint. And this is one of the things I talk, and one of the primary reasons I came to Cloudflare, because I was so impressed that every piece of software runs on every server and every data center and controlled through one interface. That's a platform. And that's something you can get behind. But I think what I worry about, you know, the question you asked me is, well, should we think about platforms or technology? Yes, we absolutely should be. But don't be fooled by Company A that has done seven roll-ups or seven acquisitions. And now I have this big mass of stuff that doesn't integrate the different interfaces. And it's made it more complex because Company A is trying to invest into integration of these products. And it's really hard to do that. So I think that's the gotcha, because marketing is something that we see all the time. It looks good. And then we look under the hood and say, well, this product has, you know, all of these things, but then it's like you got three interfaces and three agents, and we've just created one purchase order, but we still have this complexity issue that we're facing.
So just to extend on this a little bit more, because this is interesting. So as you would know, it started off with companies outsourced to, you know, IBM and friends back in the day. Then we saw Wave with point solutions. Now people are saying, well, we're going to reduce things. We're going to do platformization. So what I'm also hearing from people, I'm keen to get your thoughts, is, well, they're like, well, yeah, since certain incidents have happened this year, people are now worried about, well, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket because now that's a risk. So how do you manage trying to reduce risk, ensure that you've got uptime, not complicating things, making sure things are integrated, things are talking to one another, and trying to reduce your cost?
It's a good factor. And this is something, this is another one I think is, you're right on point. And you say, well, do I want best of breed, right? Or what do I want to look at it? My personal belief on this, right, is you got to manage costs, you know, so how do you aggregate vendors? You got to reduce complexity. I mean, at a minimum, you have to know what goes in and out of your organization. And then I think you have this best of breed thing. And I always think, if, you know, looking at an architect, and sometimes I think what I am as a CISO is a little bit of a kind of an enterprise architect, as I think about how do I piecemeal this thing together in an aggregate view that makes sense. And so just because, let's pick on, you know, use us as an example. Hey, we're going to use Cloudflare. We're going to put your zero trust in. We're going to put your web application firewalls and API protection and all of the DDoS in. Right? Well, Evolver pivoted on you. And what I would say is there's a lot of endpoint solutions, right? So now you have, you know, you could pick a CrowdStrike, a SentinelOne, a Microsoft, just to name a few, you know, in conjunction with Cloudflare. Now you're still down this path of, well, I need a vulnerability scanner. Pick one of the big three or four vulnerability scanners. Not even in your IBP. And so when you start to piecemeal these all together, well, now I need a token, right? And so you're down this path. And when I look at this, you know, even in a simplified environment, you're still 8 to 12 vendors that you're reliant on. And I had been a big believer in almost every organization that I've ever been in. I go in and I start checking, you know, endpoint configurations, and they're always 100% of the time configured wrong. We never actually leverage it. And so I think the more technology that you put in, the bigger the chance on misconfiguration is. Keeping it simple, configuring it right is the best option, because I think if you can, you know, you have a good, you know, zero trust deployment, you have a good IDP deployment with MFA, right? And good governance around access controls. You have a good endpoint deployment, or, you know, or internet provider WAF protection. You're in good shape. But I think you got to make sure that you understand the control and the posture that you have, and so that if something fails, you still have another level of protection that is independent of just one vendor.
And I guess 12 is better than like 150. I heard tools people, some companies have, some enterprises, which is a lot. So I guess even going from 150 down to 12 is still a massive reduction. But then as you were talking, and this is what was coming to my mind in terms of an analogy, is like, okay, we've got a problem now. We got to find another point solution. We keep buying that, keep buying that. I don't know. Sometimes if you've been to someone's renovated house, you know, that just keep extending on a room because it just doesn't look good. And you know that it wasn't engineered at the beginning to have this house. So do you think that now we're at this point in security or IT more broadly, it's like, okay, we've got all these things that are added on, and now we really have to like knock, tear down the house and sort of start, you know, proverbially tear down the house and sort of start again to make things make sense? Because they just kept adding things on because new problems would start to emerge. And I don't blame the industry. It's just an observation.
You're right on this point. I think as people buy houses, you're like, well, that kitchen's beautiful. But then you're like, oh, that dining room, like, well, that doesn't even make sense in the house. Or, you know, the bedroom is, you know, from 30 years old. Because, you know, and then when you take a step back and you look at this house and you say, hey, this doesn't even make sense, right? It made sense 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. But not today. And I think this is the point I make, is you're at a point solution. I mean, I always think, you know, I watched, and I was a big believer in McAfee 20 years ago when Dave DeWalt was, you know, he had the antivirus, and then he bought Intercept and Intershield, and he was buying all these amazing tools and integrating them. And, you know, I'm just buying this stuff like it was cookies. And it seemed like it was the right thing to do. Now, 20 years ago, there wasn't a lot of options. But now, you know, some of that infrastructure still lives. And so I hear this all the time. Like, I can't replace, you know, when we really want to use Cloudflare, but I can't replace our existing vendor because it's too complicated. That's the point that you have to change. You can't let a vendor hold you back from your security posture because you're worried about the change. Yeah, you know, when you redo your kitchen, or, you know, you build a house, then yeah, it's going to be a very stressful thing. But at the end of the day, you're going to be ecstatic with it, and you're going to see what modern technology can bring you. And I think this is stuff that we have been, as an industry, gun shy of doing. You know, it's hard to replace your endpoints, hard to replace your WAF, it's hard to replace your IDP. So we continually invest in technology that's 20 years old, when there's a lot better stuff that's out there that will seamlessly integrate, make your life easier, and you're going to be in a lot better spot. You know, the other thing I'll say about this is, and I see this with my team, they get excited about doing new technology. And every organization, if there's like an urgent project, with some, I think every organization does very well, there's an urgent project where we need to rally around something and do a kick-ass job, it always goes well. I could have swapped our EDR platform, our SIM platform, and our IDP all in 12 months, if I didn't have a team that was excited about this. And, you know, you're using new technology, you're new to these things, and we're in a much better spot for where this goes. And I just think this is something the security industry is scared of, because it might break something. Well, if it breaks something, work with change windows, you know, work with the IT organization, work with the business, work with the engineering teams. There's some brilliantly smart people out there that can do this. And we just never given them the chance. And I think when you get out at the end of the day, if you, you know, you've got a house that complete rehab, it's a lot of work. But when you get done with it and you have this beautiful new house that has, you know, the right chi in it, you're in a good spot. And I think this is something we need to do, is clean up our house, so that we can focus and enable the business to move forward.
So I want to move forward now on to an interesting topic. Now, people can obviously, I'm assuming, detect that you're from the US. Now, there was an election this year, as you know. So I'm curious to sort of get your view, Grant, on how do you sort of see global events like US election impact cybersecurity? I think that sort of is going back into, you know, the economy question as well. Like, I just want to get a little bit your lay of the land.
Yeah, you know, this is something I'm very proud to be part of Cloudflare with. And I think about, just the election, you probably could tell that I'm not from Australia and I have a US accent, and we've protected or protecting over 400 different election websites with our Project Athena. We protect these major events. And, I think everybody in the US, if you go back, it's almost a month ago when we had the election, everybody was worried about cybersecurity. Everybody was worried about what would happen in the election and the tampering, and nothing happened. And I think this is kudos to the government, spending time, and this is all governments, right? Spending time thinking about this. We're offering free services to protect because we want, a free internet. We want to be able to make the internet a better place, right? That's the mission of Cloudflare. And I think it's something that we need to pay close attention to. I'll even talk about, the Olympics. We had a big say in what goes on with the Paris Olympics, and we didn't see anything from a cyber attack. And, as you look at this, these major world events are major targets. And whether it's, somebody wants to disrupt operations, they want to do something, there's always cyber warfare included. And it's something we all have to pay attention to, because it's just too easy to disrupt operation from a cyber standpoint if people aren't paying attention. And it's easy, it's super easy to make a mistake for these major events that, they're focused on bringing millions of people or millions of viewers or billions of viewers into these sites that they're just not used to this. And this is something that we've tried to really do, is you need help, we'll help you, right? Like, that's, we're doing it for free, right? Like, this is the best charity work that we can do. And it was something we talked with the government in Australia and many non-for-profits of, if the organizations that need help, we have this Project Galileo for non-for-profit organizations that get attacked because they may be controversial, but they're needed in the world. And these are things that I think are important for, humanity to keep protected.
Do you think as well, because example, US election was just so high profile, right? Like, it's the most high profile election in the world. Like, I don't even watch the Australian election, but I watch the US one. So do you think that maybe people get absorbed into that? Like you said with the Olympics, people get absorbed into that and then they sort of lose focus for a little bit?
I think with the election, it was so polarizing here with all of the things that had happened. And whether you were Republican or Democratic, whether you were for Trump or whether you were for Biden or Kamala, and it was very polarizing and people were worried, about, well, was this election going to be close? And, was there going to be fake balloting? And even from a Cloudflare perspective, I was so proud to be part of protecting the elections, and there was not a bleep of anything, right? We saw DOS attacks. We saw DDoS attacks, but we mitigate them just like we do in real time. And I think, there were even some speculation that, websites might be defaced and would distract from, an election win. Nothing, right? And I just think that was, that was a win for cybersecurity. That was a win for democracy. I never thought would happen because, it was the daily topic, even on Zoom and Teams and Google Meet. It was a daily topic about the election and what we were seeing, and people were very sensitive, and you just watch, what happened to where we are today. It was non-cyber related. And I think, even the US government learned over the last 8 years how to protect the ballots. They got help from companies like Cloudflare to protect, and it turned out to be a very, good situation. And whether it's in the US, whether it's in Australia, whether it's in Europe, These are things I think are important, is to protect the sensitive matters, these sensitive events, because, you know, one inclination of a cyber attack in any, you know, election will cause, you know, chaos. And I just, you know, I was proud to watch this, and proud that it was a non-event, which was pretty cool.
So where do you think we go from here now as an industry? We discussed, obviously, you know, the election, the US, the landscape, the consolidation, how people are moving towards leveraging AI and embracing it. What do you think happens now, Grant?
Yeah, I think all these things that we've talked about is really where we have to focus, right? As we go from an industry, like, we really have to play catch up, like, in simple terms. And so we talk about security, modernization. We talk about reducing complexity. And why I say this is I wrote an article that talked about the difference in the gap of where the world is going and where we are as a security industry, at least 15 years. And you know, the thing I always think about this is, you know, I'm thinking about AI, how we're using LLMs to parse data, how are we thinking about using machine learning and deep learning and true artificial intelligence to get better, you know, autonomous, as I quote it, you know, security operations and detection. You know, that stuff I'm thinking about 3 years, 5 years. Yet, every security operations, everybody listening to your podcast is still trying to collect data into their SIM and still trying to collect the log into the SIM, which is the same thing I was doing in 2010, in 2005. And so I think as an industry, we really have to think about this is, how do we move the needle quick? You know, AI is going to outpace us. How do we start to leverage AI? How do we modernize our infrastructure? But if we can't even capture our server logs, our Linux logs, you know, our router logs, we're never going to get there, right? And so I think this is this kind of, you know, view of, we need to play catch up. We need to think about how to modernize our architecture and move forward from an industry. So I think that's one big component. The other one I think highly of is, you know, how do we continually build and develop talent? I don't think, there's a lot of surveys on this one, like, there's a shortage of people wanting to get into cyber, or there's a shortage of jobs. I think we could fill every job in cybersecurity tomorrow if we wanted to, but they don't have the skills. And so, you know, I watch it. For every job I post, we have between 1,000 and 5,000 applicants. And, you know, there are people that want jobs, but we don't think they have the experience. And so I think this other big component is, how do we think outside of the box where we can actually develop people? And I often think some of the early in career people are the best because they work hard, they learn, and we're not even giving them a chance. And so, you know, I think this is something of, how do we do this? And I talk to my team about this every day. And it's like, well, no, I have to have somebody with 5 years experience. I have to have somebody with 10 years experience. I'm like, Cloudflare can hire the best people in the world, and we get, you know, that's an advantage. But when I worked at our company, I couldn't hire the best people in the world. And I invested into early in career people, and it was successful.
So, Grant, do you have any sort of closing comments or final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with today?
I think the first thing I think is, have the courage to make the change, right? Like, this is something we see in every organization, is have the courage to make big changes, take chances, and trust your people, right? So I think as we talk about this, we know we have a cost problem. We know we have a complexity problem. We know AI is a good or bad thing based on our perspective, and we know that we have to embrace it. And so, you know, trust your teams, trust your people. I've seen amazing results from people when you empower them and challenge them to do major things. And so, you know, use that superpower that I think cybersecurity people have to make those big changes your organization has, and explain, we have to do these things to go faster, right? And so, you know, I think as we look at this, you know, we have to modernize our portfolio to be able to catch up to 2024, 2025 technology when you really should be thinking about 2030. So I think that's something that I always encourage, because, you know, we're often scared by these changes and the what-if scenarios, because that's what we do. We what-if everything as cyber professionals. Trust our people and let them show all of us thoughts how limited they are.
This is KBCast, the voice of cyber.
Thanks for tuning in. For more industry-leading news and thought-provoking articles, visit kbi.media to get access today.
This episode is brought to you by Mercsec, your smarter route to security talent. Mercsec's executive search has helped enterprise organizations find the right people from around the world since 2012. Their on-demand talent acquisition team helps startups and mid-sized businesses scale faster and more efficiently. Find out more at mercsec.com today.